You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, people of Birdland, and welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. I'm the former Major League Baseball editor for Sporting News. I'm a former Cy Young and Rookie of the Year voter. I do another podcast. It's called Baseball by the Book, and you should check that out as well. Most importantly for our purposes, though, I'm a lifelong Orioles fan. Been following the team since the 1970s. Guys, today we are joined by Luke Seiler. He is a prospect analyst for Orioles Hangout, and he's going to talk to us about the Orioles' decision to send Austin Hayes back to the minor league camp. We'll get to that in just a second. Hey, folks, just a reminder. For all the original content of the Locked On Podcast Network, both the podcasts and the written content on every team, go to LockedOnSports.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by Luke Seiler. He is a prospect analyst for Orioles Hangout and a frequent guest on Locked On Orioles. Welcome back, Luke.
Thanks for having me.
All right. So let's talk about Austin Hayes. As you know, over the weekend, the Orioles sent Austin Hayes, one of their top outfield prospects, back to the minor league camp. And this was a bit of a surprise, I think, to some fans. And I saw a lot of reaction to it on Twitter and elsewhere. And that's because Hayes had been hitting really well in spring training. He was one of the top Orioles hitters for the whole spring. Looked like maybe he was going to break camp with the big club. And I think the Orioles are at a point now where it's not like they have a ton of major league talent. So I think fans were thinking maybe this is going to be his opportunity. So let me just ask you this. A two-part question. Were you surprised that this decision was made by the Orioles? And do you think it was the right decision?
Okay. So first, I get why people are upset. I mean, I get why people are disappointed or a little put off by him being sent down, because he was a spark this spring training. I mean, there's a few other guys. Cisco's been hitting. John Means has flashed a 95 mile per hour fastball, and which is a big jump for him. But Hayes is really the guy. Former top prospect, had an off year last year. Dealt with a ton of injuries. And now he's back. And not only is he, you know, hitting in spring training, which spring training numbers really don't mean that much in the whole scope of things, but he looked good too. I saw him take a slider from Jonathan Holder of the Yankees, who throws a really good slider, and scoop it out of the gutter and put it over the fence. I mean, he looked like that guy from Double A with the Bay Sox in 2017. That could get his barrel on everything. And yeah, so it is disappointing even for me to see him get sent down, but I wasn't surprised. I really wasn't surprised at all. Because if you look at what the new front office, Mike Elias, Sigma Dahl, and even Brandon Hyde are trying to do, it's they're trying to maybe take some of the emotion out of the decision making. And there's definitely an emotional case for Hayes making the opening day lineup. But when you get down to it and you drill down to the facts, the data, they might not support him making the open day roster quite as much. Now, as much as I want to create a narrative that, you know, you can just write off 2018 for Austin Hayes because of, you know, struggling with injuries, you know, he got sent out of spring training and told to work on being more patient at the plate, and that didn't work out. He actually struck out more and walked less, and he didn't hit well in Double A, and everything looked to take a step back. And you could really create a narrative like, oh, that was just an injury. We can write that off, and he's the old Hayes right now. But that's an emotional type of narrative. And I don't think this front office is kind of swayed by those things. They're looking at a guy who, you know, he hit below league average in Double A last year and hasn't played any in Triple A. And it might be better for his development to see some time against Triple A pitching, against some crafty veterans that, you know, have played in the big leagues and can out sequence him and throw breaking balls and fastball counts and really try to make him swing and miss at junk. So no, I wasn't surprised. I think uh, I think they did what's best for the Orioles in the long term and maybe what's best for Hayes in the long term.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you talk about spring training numbers, and of course, these are the ultimate in small sample size, right? I mean, not only is it a small sample size, but it's not against, you know, top-notch major league pitching. He's not facing, you know, the best pitchers in the American League. He's facing guys who are trying to make the team, guys who are going to be sent down to the minor league camps themselves. So it doesn't necessarily tell you very much, particularly, like you said, compared with everything he did last year. And this is an organization that now I think is in the mode of saying, you know, we're gonna look at the big picture, not at the small sample sizes. So that's a really good point. So do you expect him to go to I've seen some contradictory things on this. Do you expect him to go to AA back to Bowie or to AAA?
I think he showed enough, at least from a scouting perspective this spring, that you start him at AAA. I think he showed enough scouting wise, you know, if you're just gonna throw out the data and just, you know, take the run with the emotional side of things and the subjective rather than the objective. You know, I think he showed enough to, you know, he looks like he may be the best outfielder in the organization right now, but does the 2019 Orioles need their best talent on the major league club? That's a real question you have to ask yourself. Do they have the talent to win? I know that's kind of like a disappointing sounding thing to say, but isn't it better to make sure Austin Hayes is 100% ready to be the best big leaguer he can be before he comes up? And I think that's really part of the process, as well as looking at the whole scope of data between, you know, 2017, 2018, and what he's shown so far this spring. So I expect that he showed enough to get a AAA assignment. I think that will help test his free swinging ways, because you'll have these older pitchers, these crafty veterans who will make him wait for his pitch, who will throw him pitches he's not expecting, and really get him ready for what he'll see from major league pitching.
I think people have to reconcile themselves to it. And I think most fans have, but people have to reconcile themselves to the fact that the 2019 Orioles are not only not going to win much, but they're not really particularly attempting to win much, right? I mean, it's, you know, if you read anything about the Astros and their approach and where Mike Elias comes from, they didn't care in those years, you know, like 2013, 2014. They've looked at the major league record as essentially irrelevant. They were in a process of rebuilding the system, rebuilding the organization, and they didn't really care about the major league results at that point. And I think that's the mode the Orioles are in now. And as a fan, you don't necessarily want to hear that, but I think that's reality. So, like you said, you know, does it make sense to have him come up to a team that's, you know, may lose 100 games anyway, or does it make sense to send him down and let him develop some bar, get himself for the point where we are sure he's ready for the major league? So I think that's a really good point. What do you think his ceiling is? As an analyst, you look at him, you know, obviously we have contradictory data from 2017 versus 2018. It looks like now, based on this small sample, that he's more in the mode of what he was doing in 2017. What do you think realistically Austin Hayes is going to be as a major leaguer?
The ceiling that I thought in 2017 and other, you know, national prospect guys thought too, I mean, he was a top 50 prospect, was a plus regular, a 60. That was kind of the ceiling. And there was some risk of getting there. You know, the overall grade was kind of like a 55, which is an above average regular, someone who puts up maybe 3 WAR. So a good player on a good team, not a superstar, not a guy that's going to carry a squad, but a very good player on a good team. So a very valuable piece. I think he still has that ceiling. There's might be more risk that he doesn't get there. He did show some things with getting fooled and expanding the strike zone and some swing and miss tendencies that in 2018 that he didn't show in 2017. And while I would like to write those off solely to injury and him just trying to do too much, I really can't until I've seen it in a little bit bigger sample size this year. So I think the ceiling's still there to be you know, a plus regular, a 3-4 WAR kind of guy. But I think there's a little bit more risk now that he doesn't reach that level.
If he does end up in AAA, AAA or AA, at what point do you think realistically the Orioles would look at bringing him back up? Say he goes to AAA and continues to hit well, continues to look like the guy he looked like in 2017, and we get to May and he's ripping up the International League. Do you think the Orioles would bring him up at that point, or do you think they're still going to take their time with him?
It's hard to tell, and I think a lot will depend on the development of the other outfielders in the system and how the outfielders at the major league level will play, because it's not like we have a lot of – or the Orioles have a lot of established talent there either. I mean, they're going to be really evaluating some combination of Dwight Smith Jr., who was acquired for international bonus slots, and evaluating Cedric Mullins. Both of those guys have seen a lot of time in AAA, so now it's important to evaluate them at the major league level. So, I mean, if there's not room in the outfield, if those guys by some kind of minor miracle are all tearing it up, I think they wait and play it cautiously. I mean, part of what Elias is trying to do is build a talent pipeline. And sometimes to build a talent pipeline, whether we like it or not as fans, involves backing people up a little bit. If you look at the Astros have some good pitchers in AAA that could probably help a lot of teams that are just kind of sitting there. And it kind of sucks, but they're not good enough to break onto the Astros, but it's deep depth, so to speak. It's a talent pipeline. And I mean, that's a good problem to have. But if the major league outfield looks like crap and people are struggling, yeah, I could see him up. I could see him up in May if he's really tearing the cover off the ball, or, you know, more likely sometime around midseason, around the All-Star break.
Yeah, so the other question I wanted to ask you real quick before we go here on Hayes is, this is something, again, I'm sure you've seen this, some speculation about the idea that the Orioles are sending him down as a service time manipulation, you know, a la Vlad Guerrero Jr., a la Chris Bryant. When I first saw that, I was like, that doesn't really make sense for a player. he's not a top prospect. That doesn't make quite as much sense. And I've read some other stuff from people who sort of tend to agree with that, that this really isn't what we're not talking about something where the Orioles are trying to get that extra year before free agency, because he's just not that type of talent, not that type of prospect. Do you agree with that?
I do agree that it, I don't think it's service time manipulation. It may be service time optimization, which maybe is a little bit different. It means, you know, we're not going to play him in the major league team until we think he's ready to be pretty close to what he's going to be as a major leaguer, rather than let him develop at the major league level, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it does.
So, because by the time his 6 years are up of team control, he's going to be, what, 30?
Yeah, so, something like that.
I mean, with the aging curves nowadays, the league is being populated by younger and younger players. At his 30 to 31 season, and they would have to keep him. I don't think that's part of the calculus here. I just think that would just be overly weird if they were trying to game the service time with Hayes. I don't think it really makes sense. I think it makes sense that they want him to be the best version of Austin Hayes before they promote him to the major league roster.
I think that makes sense. He may end up being a very good player, but he's not Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's not a superstar in the making, unless things really change. And it just doesn't seem like that would really make a lot of sense for a team that's at this point in the development process. All right. Well, Luke, thanks a lot for joining us as always. We'll definitely like to have you back throughout the course of the year so we can look at the progress of Austin Hayes, as well as guys like Ryan Mountcastle and
use Neil Diaz, Deal Hall, Grayson Rodriguez, some of the blue chippers in the organization.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we'll love to have you back on to talk about all those guys.
Sounds good. Thank you, Justin.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.